I am reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to use this as a text. And after the fire, a still small voice. This 19th chapter portrays one of the greatest men of God in the Old Testament that ever lived. In the 18th chapter, here is a man that challenges all the prophets of Baal. Every one of them. The prophets of Baal were making inroads to God's people, and many of them forgot about God and embraced Baal as their god because of Jezebel, who was the wife of King Ahab. And thank God for the man of God who came to it and said, if Baal be God, then let's all of us serve him. But if God be God, then let's all serve him. But let's just find out who this God is. And beloved, we are getting to that place today in this 20th century that we are living. There is a philosophy that's going on in our circles, especially in this country, that it doesn't matter what kind of a God you serve, that we're all going to end up in the same place anyway. And that's a lying devil. Jesus is the only way. Muhammad is not the way. Buddha is not the way. Hare Hare Krishna is not the way. The Virgin Mary is not the way. Mr. Moon is not the way. You gotta get higher than the moon. You gotta get to the sun. The S-O-N. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. Thank God for a man like Elijah that stood up and said, the God that answers by fire is the God we're going to serve. Now remember what my text is, after the fire, what? And here's a man who knows what fire is. He called it down out of heaven. And you know the story. I preached a series of messages on this on radio. Prevailing faith. And I don't want to get involved with this again in this particular time. But every one of you know the outcome, that God answered by fire and licked up the sacrifice, licked up all the water and even the altars, and Elijah had all the prophets of Baal slain. He was living on top of a mountain. And in the same chapter, he's the one that said that it wasn't going to rain for 7 years. And finally, rain comes. This is a triumphal picture in the life of a man of God. And chapter 19 brings him down off of that high spot into a valley. And some of you who are listening to this broadcast are going through a valley experience right now. Some of you can't even feel the presence of God. He seems like he's a million miles away. Some of you just yesterday had a miracle take place in your life, and today the devil got you knocked down again. Some of you are having battles in your home and in your family relationship. Some of you are having trouble on the job. Some of you have had the devil jump on you with both feet, and sickness and disease has gripped you. Your back is against the wall. It seems like you lost your job. Your bank account balance is double zero. What am I going to do? Sounds just like Elijah. Ahab went home and told his wife what Elijah did, and she made an oath and declared that she was going to get him. And it put him on the run. But I don't care how low you are in the valley, God's getting ready to pull you back up onto a mountaintop by giving you an experience that you've never had before. Can you shout amen, somebody? You that are sick and diseased and afflicted in your Bible, in your body, my Bible says to you, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And if you're suffering in your body, there's only one way for you to go, and that is deliverance. Deliverance is nigh unto thee, and tonight may be the night that God is going to set you free. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me, somebody? Hallelujah! Now this is significant to me, and I sort of underlined this in my Bible 4 times. And I want you to underline it in yours, if you will. In verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord pass by. Underline that in your mind. The Lord passed by. And there were 3 distinct experiences they had. First of all, there was a wind. Then there was an earthquake. And then there was a fire. And then the thought was that the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the earthquake. And the Lord was not in the fire. But it's not that the Lord wasn't in it. Because, remember, I said underline it in verse 11. Behold, the Lord passed by. And God used every one of these experiences to move you into the next experience. Before you can get to the earthquake, you got to have the wind. Some of you never had the wind experience. And every time you read the word wind in the Bible, it is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Getting to make me feel better already. The wind experience. In the New Testament, they were in an upper room, 120 plus, when all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven like as a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Are you listening to me? And cloven tongues like as a fire. There's the next one. Sat on the heads of every one of them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And they received power for service, power to do the works that Jesus did. But before you can move into the fullness of God, you got to have the starting point. Most people move into the realm of the Spirit and they stop. And they drive a stake into the ground and said, whoopee, I got the wind. God don't want you to drive no stake in the ground and play church around the wind. There's an earthquake ahead waiting for you. Can you shout amen, somebody? Thank God for the outpouring of His Spirit. But there's more to this than just talking in tongues. God wants you to live holy and come out of the world and be separated and touch not the unclean thing. And then He said, I'll be your God and you shall be my people. The Lord passed by. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people today that have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they have settled down to nothing but a mere form and ceremony and ritual. And yet they say, but we have received the wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. Wow. God is looking for a people to move on into the next realm. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Don't stop with the experience that you have received from God. He has something fresh for you. But you've got to get up and you've got to stretch out and take the stance of faith and move on into the promises of God and lay claim to them for yourself. Thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that will move you into all your fullness. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me, somebody? in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. Let me read just a portion of it. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, this is my text, but I haven't even gotten to this yet. But before the fire, there was a wind. And beloved, this is the beginning of it all. A lot of people do not want the breath of the Holy Spirit breathed upon their life. Many of you have been taught that it's not for today. Television preachers get up and tell you, you don't have to talk in tongues. They say it's not for today. Some of them even go far as to say it's of the devil. Right on television. Right on radio. But I'm going to get on radio and tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. Not only do you need the Holy Ghost in this day, you're going to need a double portion of the Holy Ghost, because this is the wicked day that God was talking about. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Hallelujah! The wind is symbolic of revival or manifestation. And this is why God gave us the Holy Ghost and the manifestation of tongues accompanied it. Thank God for tongues. But there's another step. It says God was not in the wind, because people digged a stake into the ground and they just played church around that one thing. But after the wind, then an earthquake came. And the earthquake is symbolic of the demonstration of God's power. It shakes foundations. Paul came into Corinth. He said, I came to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But he said, I come with the demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power. I come with an earthquake. I kind of like that, don't you? Hallelujah! But before you can have the dynamite of the Holy Ghost, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, the demonstration of God's power, you got to get the wind first. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. I don't mind confessing this right on radio. When I hear preachers talking against the baptism of the Holy Spirit and talking in other tongues, I get downright angry with them. I used to. I don't anymore. Because they got the victory over that. Isn't that wonderful? I'm confessing this nationwide. I got the victory over it. Why? Because a Baptist preacher came into my service down in Houston, Texas. And he said, Brother Schambach, I want to testify. And I gave him the microphone. A Baptist preacher. And he said, Brother Schambach, nobody ever fought the Holy Ghost any worse than I did. He said, I'd get up in front of my congregation and say, it's not for today. You don't have to talk in tongues. It's not in the Bible, so you don't have to have it. And he said, I used to say that every Sunday until one day God got tired of it. And in front of my whole church, 1,800 of them, he knocked me down right on the pulpit in front of everybody. And he said, there I lay on the floor with my feet sticking straight up on my back. And he said, all of a sudden I started speaking in another language and God filled me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Can you shout praise the Lord? I had that Baptist preacher on my broadcast who testified to it. And he don't know how he blessed me. I said, you mean tell me God did that? I said, I ain't going to get mad no more. So when I hear preachers blaspheming the Holy Ghost, I say, go ahead, Holy Ghost. Knock them down right on television. Knock them down on radio. They've been condemning this thing. Let them talk in tongues in front of everybody to let the world know that the Holy Ghost is real. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah! After the wind. What I'm trying to tell you is that the wind is important. But it's only important to take you to the next stage. Are you listening to me? It says the Lord passed by and there was a wind a strong wind. And then there was an earthquake, a demonstration. But God wasn't in the earthquake. It's not that he wasn't in it. He was trying to move them on a little bit to the fire. Before you can get the fire, then you got to have the demonstration. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got the wind. Now you got to get the earthquake. And in order to get the earth to quake, you got to have some dynamite. You say, how am I going to get it? You got it! Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Peter and John had it. After they got the wind, they went into the temple the next day at the hour of prayer, and they walked by a man who was lame from his mother's womb, begging for alms. Now, they got the wind yesterday, but now they got to demonstrate this thing. And I'm talking to you Pentecostal people who have the wind. You sure got the wind, because all you've been doing is talking in tongues. That shows you're windy. You got the wind. But there's more to this than just talking in tongues and prophesying. There is a demonstration of this power that God has given to every one of us. For these signs shall follow not the preacher, but the believer, everyone who has been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And Peter and John are going to demonstrate it. And they walked by this man who was lame from his mother's womb. And all of a sudden, John stopped Peter and said, hold it, Pete. Wait a minute. He said, what is this thing we got, this wind we got the other day? He said, power, man. He said, didn't Jesus say the works that he did we shall do also do? Why, he said, sure did say it. He said, what about the man laying down there? I've passed him for the past 3 months. Now that I got this Holy Ghost, why don't we put this thing to work? Peter said, yeah. Let's back up here a little bit. And when they backed up on the man put up his tin cup. Thought he was going to get something now. Alms for the poor? Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But he said, such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Say it out loud. Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man didn't get up. He sit there and looked at him like he was some kind of nut. He said, walk! What do you think I'm doing here begging for alms, man? My mama's been putting me here every day since I've been a little boy. If I could walk, okay. Peter said, I ain't gonna argue with you. Give me. And he reached, got down, got him by his hand, and the moment he touched him, something Peter had in him was transferred into that man. And the moment he touched him, the Bible says immediately, not next week, not the second Sunday of the month, but immediately. He felt in his bones. He received strength in his ankle bones, and he, leaping up, stood, giving praise to God because of the manifestation of God's demonstrating power that was in the lives of two men that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the wind, but now they're going to have the power to cause the earth to quake. Arthritis got to go. Blind eyes have to open. Dumb tongues got to be loose so they can talk because of the resurrecting power of the Holy Ghost. Raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me, somebody. Hallelujah. And I come to town to tell you, you got it. And the only way to put it to work is the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. What is that in your hand? The name of Jesus. All Moses had was a rod, but you have the name of Jesus. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Can you shout praise the Lord with me, somebody? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank God for the wind, but don't stop there. Move in until you put all the gifts of the Spirit into operation and let God channel them through your life before Jesus comes to our generation. Raise your hands and shout hallelujah with me, somebody. I'm reading from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, and I'm still on my introduction. And after the fire, a still small voice. See, some of you haven't got to the fire yet. You got the wind, and you got the earthquake, but you haven't reached the fire. But even the fire is not the end. It's after the fire what counts. After the fire. Now, I already had one message on the broadcast concerning the wind, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit being revived. Wind carries the connotation of reviving. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. He revives us. He brings back to life that which was dead. Earthquake is symbolic of the demonstration of God's power. Not just to talk it. People don't want to hear what you have to say. They want to see what you got. Philip went down into Samaria. He was a deacon. And he preached Christ unto the people. And the whole city gave heed unto the things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he performed. This is not an evangelist. Well, it is an evangelist. But here's a deacon. This is not an apostle. Philip was a deacon. These are the kind of deacons I like. Deacons that know how to preach the word of God. Deacons that know how to lay hands on the sick and see them get well. Deacons that know how to cast out devils. Deacons that know how to bring revival to the top man in the city, the mayor, to the one that's least in the city. And the Bible says great joy came to the city. Hallelujah. Now God is bringing Elijah through all this. And every one of us has to be brought to this place. Brought from a low experience in the valley after he had one of the greatest answers to prayer. When he called fire down out of heaven. When he commanded it to rain when there was 7 years of famine and no rain. And now he's in the valley and God's bringing him up in a mountaintop experience again. I love this. He brings him through the experience of wind. He brings him through the experience of earthquake. And now he's bringing him through the experience of fire. Beloved, we're in that part right now. Thank God I got the Holy Ghost and fire. Some folks got the Holy Spirit and icicles. But I got the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm not ashamed of that word, Holy Ghost. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? And I don't mind telling you, let me put it all together now. The manifestation of wind, the demonstration of an earthquake, and the sensation of fire. He's now introducing the sensational into this move of God. That's what some people accuse preachers of. You're too sensational. And I smile and say, sure am. That's the next step, man. That's the fire. And nobody was sensational like Jesus was. Are you listening to me? I said he was sensational. When the little widow woman had her son die, he could have gone to the mortician's place and told him to get up. But he didn't do it. He waited until they were in a funeral procession. Talk about sensationalism. And he gets right behind the casket. When I was preaching in the Far East, this is how they conduct their funerals over there. When I was in Indonesia, the body is at the end. And the procession is in front of the casket, and they lead the way. And Jesus just walked up to the back of that casket when it was going down through Main Street. How sensational can you get? And he touches the casket. And the little boy sits right up. And he sees everybody in front of him and he says, "Hey, Mom! Hey, where are we going?" And can you imagine that crowd dispersing after they see that boy sitting up? This is sensational. Somebody says, "Yeah, but no buts." And if you think that's not sensational, how about this one? Lazarus died and was in the grave 4 days. And they sealed his tomb with a rock. And Jesus waits until the fourth day and comes and says, "Roll the stone away!" Hey, man, that's sensational. That's fire. That's what you call baptism with fire. Hallelujah. That's walking up to the woman in the wheelchair and say, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." It means it's time to get bold and put this fire to work and believe that God is going to perform some supernatural acts. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Sensational! They rolled the stone away. In front of the Jews and his apostles, the disciples rather, he stands there and says, "Lazarus!" He didn't have to holler so loud. What if he didn't hear him? "Come forth!" I say this many times. I said, it's a good thing Jesus called him by his name. If he'd have just hollered, "Come forth," everybody ever would have died, would have come out of their grave. Because he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die." Hallelujah! Sensational. You say, "Yeah, but that was Jesus." All right, park yourself one moment. Here comes Brother Peter now. He has an appointment in the next town. And the preachers in the certain city where he's walking through says, "Stop, we got a lot of sick folks here we want you to lay hands on." He said, "I ain't got time, man. I got an appointment in the next city." "But you got to minister to these people." He said, "I don't have time. I got an appointment and I got to fulfill it." "Wait a minute. We'll kill two birds with one stone. Get them out in the street. Bring out their couches and the cots that they're on and lay them on this side of the street. The sun's shining that way, means my shadow will go that way." Hey, man, this is sensational. Jesus ain't never done this. Jesus spit on the ground and made clay out of the spittle and put it on a blind man's eyes. But his shadow. Peter said, "Just let him lay there. And when I walk by him, when my shadow touches him, every one of them's going to be healed by the power of God." Woo! What happened? Everybody on the cots and stretchers when Peter's shadow hit him, they got up and they were instantly healed by the power of the living God, because this is the Holy Ghost and fire! Can you shout amen? Somebody said, "Yeah, but that's Peter." All right, let me give you another one. Saul of Tarsus, the one who was arresting Christians and throwing them in jail, got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Became the greatest apostle that ever lived. And you know what he did? He took cloths and aprons from his body. He wore aprons in church. He took cloths and aprons. Women gave him aprons to wear, and he wore them while he preached. And after he got done preaching, he took the aprons from his body. Take that home to Aunt Lizzie and lay it on her. And when that apron touches her, the tumor will disintegrate. Take this cloth home to that demon-possessed boy, and when the cloth touches him, the devils will come out of him. Jesus never did it, but Paul did it. Why? Because he got the fire. He moved from the wind to the earthquake to the fire. And I believe we're in the fire right now when God wants you to do something that's sensational. Can you shout amen? Somebody gave me candy to wear one time, and I wore it on my body. And they sent it behind prison doors in a mental institution. 30 years, a woman was insane, and when she bit into the candy, the devils come out. And she's living a normal life today. because of something that's sensational. Hallelujah. God wants to do the same thing for you if He can just find a little bit of faith.